praise God. There ain't nothing, you hear what I'm saying? There ain't nothing like good apostolic Jesus name church. Hallelujah. Oh, let's give the Lord a good hand clap here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. It is time to hear the word of the Lord. Praise God. As I told you last night, we have chosen for this year young men. For these daytime services. And we're going to bring to you this morning a couple of young men. And they are from our local church. Both of these young men, Brother Rick Bray and Brother Tim Lackey, they both pastor. Brother Rick Bray pastors in Spruce Grove, Canada. That's just in the suburbs of Edmonton, which is a very big place. But about 13, 14 years ago or so, my assistant, Brother Bill Davies, went there with our blessings and our support. And we started a church there in Spruce Grove, Canada. And the Lord has blessed, and they have nice facilities there and a good congregation. And Brother Rick Bray has been there for a couple of years. And I can say sincerely, God has blessed, and they're doing a good work there. I've been there several times. But Brother Rick Bray, I've pastored him for many years. In fact, him and Brother Lackey both. I raised these boys from, they were just pups when I got a hold of them. And they both graduated from True Tabernacle Christian School. And these young men, I seen them both come to a place where I didn't know if they were going to make the turn or not. But let me say this, time and patience and loving and rebuking and working with them, they have both turned out to be fine young men that I'm thankful for. Praise God. And let me say this for you young preachers that's in the local church chomping the bits wanting to get out. The most important thing that you can do right now is to work with your pastor. And I can honestly say that these two young men, they worked with me. They really did. And they submitted themselves to God and to the authority that was in their life. And God blessed them. Not only blessed them, but they both got good wives. They really do. And so we want Brother Rick Bray to come at this time and to deliver his soul. Let's worship the Lord as he can. Praise the Lord.
Oh, let's lift up our hands this morning and love the Lord. Oh, we give you praise and glory and honor. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Let's magnify the Lord together. Oh, I came to have church this morning. I came to hear a word from the Lord this morning. Oh, let's lift up our voices together. Oh, we love you, Savior. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you glory. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, let's wake up this morning. Let's come to church today. Oh, let's get our minds on Jesus today. Oh, I need to hear a word from God today. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder, for those kind words. Amen. I'd like to give thanks to Elder Morton for asking me to come and preach at West Coast Conference. Thank you, Elder, for the pocket knife. Amen. Thank you for the room and the candy and all of the hospitality that you've shown. Amen. I'm thankful for what I heard last night with Brother Copeland. Amen. I'm thankful for the word. I want to wake up. Amen. I want to wake up and do a work for God. Praise God. Amen. I give honor to all the ministry. There's a lot of men here that have been an influence in my life. I wish tonight or this morning that my grandfather, Frank Bray, and my grandpa, Gene Jenkins, could be here today, but I hope to do them honor this morning. I want to thank the Saints of Truth Tabernacle, Spruce Grove, amen, for putting up with me for the last 11 or so months when my mind's been on today. And also for the saints that we have here this morning. We've got 5 saints from Canada with us here this morning. We're glad that they're here. Amen. I want to thank my friends and my family most of all for being here. Got my wife and my boys and my mom. She's here. I got an amen corner back there in the back, at least one. Praise God. Amen. And most of all, I'm thankful that God's here this morning. I'm thankful for what I feel. I love the old-time apostolic singing. We don't need all this new charismatic stuff. All we need to do is go back to the old past. Go back to what made it happen for us. Go back to what works. Praise God. Amen. I'm not ashamed to admit that we still have songbooks in Truth Tabernacle. We still use them. Amen. A young man the other night said, well, not from our church, but visiting, he said, we like to be a little bit more modern. And I said, well, the Bible said ask for the old past. Amen. I don't want to get away from apostolic. I don't want to get away from what God laid down for us. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, this is a Bible conference. I remember when it was 3 in the morning and 2 at night. Amen. But we're thankful for what we have today. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to do my best to preach what God has given me. A lot of men have been giving me advice lately. And, I was praying about this and fasting about this. And I got a text message from Brother Collins, Twin Falls, Idaho. He said, brother, don't worry about it. You're between Brother Copeland and Brother Howard. There's no one going to remember what you preached anyway. So I thank Brother Collins for easing the pressure off me. Amen. But I'm going to preach, and whether you remember it or not, there's a CD. Just go ahead and buy it. If you don't remember it, you can listen to it later. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse number 1. Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Verse number 3, and when the man that had the lie in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loin. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. His spirit in the inner man, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the depth. And he measured 1,000 and the river that I could not pass over. I want to preach this morning with the grace of God, a revelation of the deep. A revelation of the deep. I'm not talking about some deep dug down secret that's in the Bible, but I'm talking about a revelation of going places you've never been before. I'm talking about a revelation of going someplace that you've never experienced before. We've been walking around maybe knee deep, maybe waist deep, but what about the blessings of the deep? What about the blessings of a place that I can't even pass over? That's where the blessings are. That's where the revival is. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 42 and 7 says this, deep calleth unto deep. And there is a calling this morning for the deep. Let's pray that God would help us this morning, that God would bless us, that God would anoint me, and God would help us to hear what He has to say to us. Savior, we love you. We give you the glory and the honor. We are thankful for your presence here this morning. We're thankful for your presence here today. We're thankful for what we felt last night, God. But we want to press on a little bit further today. We want to press on a little bit harder today. We want to go a little bit deeper in your word today. We want to feel, God, what we haven't felt before. We're asking you, Lord, that you would touch us, that you would bless us, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. Everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. There's a call in the house today for the deep things of God. I contemplated the title of this message, not because of just picking something that sounded good, but something that brought out what I was thinking. And when I wrote down a revelation of the deep, I understood there's going to be a lot of preachers here today. And I'm not trying to bring out something new. In fact, I don't want to preach anything new. I want to preach what we've already heard before. I want to preach what we believe. I want to preach what we stand for. Amen. And by being up here, I don't feel like I have arrived. In fact, I realize how much further I really need to go. But there's a call in me, and maybe I'm preaching to myself today, but there's a call in me to go deeper. There's a call in me to get it deeper. I'm telling you, we've got to get this apostolic doctrine way down deep inside of our soul. There's more to this walk with God than the shallow experience. There's more to this walk with God than a surface touch. But we've got to be moved deeper. We've got to be pushed deeper. We've got to get it deeper in our soul this morning. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 47 said, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them. There's a lot of people hearing the word, but there's some people that aren't doing what they hear. He said, if they doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and when the strings beat vehemently upon the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth not and doeth not, he is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon earth, against a stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. He dug down deep. He said, if I'm going to build a house, if I'm going to build a place, I better dig it down deep. I better put some roots and some ground in this. Praise God, praise God. He laid the foundation on a rock. And I believe this morning I came with a little bit of a foundation for my message. So just ride with me for a little bit. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus then came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" It doesn't matter what the denominational world says who Jesus is. It doesn't matter what the world thinks Jesus is. He wants to know, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," it was founded on a rock, "upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not." They're not going to shake it. They're not going to knock it off. They shall not prevail against it. Oh my God. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm glad I'm founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh my God, my God, my God. And ye are built upon a foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. I still believe in 2010 that we gotta preach holiness within and holiness without. We gotta preach separation from the world. It was already founded. It's already been built on. Paul wrote, "According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." We better take heed how we preach, and we better take heed what we let in the church, and what we let in our home, because this foundation was laid upon Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. There are elders that have labored on this foundation, that have built on this foundation, that have gave their all for this foundation. I'm not about to start walking away from it. I'm not about to start evaluating it, to rebuild it on it. Amen. Amen. When we get young men that grow up and start leading the church, I don't want them to say, "Hey, Grandpa, this is the way they do it at the church down the street. Hey, Daddy, let me lead some songs. I know some new songs I heard on the radio." We prayed a girl through about 2 years ago, and we took her to a meeting, and she didn't know anything about church. She didn't know anything about the church. And we sang songs, and we sang apostolic songs. And we went to a meeting, they were singing, and they were all doing their little dance, you know. No Holy Ghost, but just all dancing around. And she looked over to me, and she said, "Pastor, this don't feel apostolic." I said, "Do you know these songs?" She said, "Yeah, I heard them on the radio. I heard them at the Gateway Church down the road. What are we doing singing this stuff in our kind of church?" Hey, I'm telling you, the world don't want that garbage. The world don't want that. They're looking for something. And we better build that thing on a foundation, an apostolic foundation. It's the foundation of the oneness of God. It's the foundation of repentance. It's the foundation of baptism in Jesus' name. Being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking other tongues. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 6:1 said, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from death of works, from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment." Let's not lay the foundation again. Where we can't change it. We can't reevaluate it. We can't weaken it. We can't compromise it. We can't submerge it.
This is what the church was built on. This is the reason why we feel what we feel when we come to church. It's not because of our perfect songs and the way we sing, but because we're built upon an apostolic foundation.
Praise God. I apologize for taking my coat off. I preach like this at home, so I'm just going to act like I'm at home. I got to stretch out, brother. Praise God. But this is apostolic. We had better take heed how we build on this foundation. We better take heed to what we let in our homes, on the internet, and on our telephones. Hey, I'm telling you, it's not just television anymore. But we got to watch all kinds of things. We got to watch our computers. We got to watch our phones. We got to watch what's being sent and what's coming and going in our house if we're not careful. Hey, I'm telling you, I don't have to go to YouTube to find out how to have church. I just got to go to an apostolic prayer room. Hey, it's time to get deep. It's time to put this down in our soul. Hey, the winds of change are starting to beat on the house. They're starting to beat on the foundation. But it cannot be shaken. Because it was founded upon a rock. Oh, praise the Lord. Hey, I know this is the morning service. And I know some of y'all have been up for a little while. But this is the way I preach on Wednesday nights. Amen. The Bible says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. He said, I rejoice. I get excited about the law. Talking about the law of Moses. Talking about the gospel also of God on the inside. Oh, the deeper we preach it, and the harder we preach it, and the stronger we preach it, we ought to rejoice in that. Oh, we ought to get happy. He said, I delight in it. When the word is preached, when the gospel goes forth, there ought to be something that wells up inside of us that says, I like that sound. I like that feel. Oh, I can't help it this morning. I'm excited about what God has done. I'm excited about the work. Hey, others are giving up. Others are letting down. But the only way for revival is to hold on to the old past. Oh, my God. The song says, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible says. I don't have to accept him as my personal Savior. I've already got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. And I did it just the way the Bible said do it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, my God. We're not talking about a shallow relationship. We're not talking about a surface experience. But he gave me something deep inside me. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Psalm 51:6 said, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. That's why some of these people are acting like a bunch of idiots. Because it's not that inside them. It's not down inside them. He said, if you want wisdom, you got to get it down inside the hidden parts. You got to get on the inside, man. Truth's got to be deep. God's desire for his people is to go deep, not to be shallow, not to be wishy-washy, not to be up and down and in and out. But he said, be rooted and grounded. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth not man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. That'll preach right there.
I don't want to look like the world. I don't want to act like the world. I don't want to see how close I can get to the world. I don't want to see how close I can look like the devil and be a Christian. I don't want to see how close I can look like the world and be apostolic. But I don't have the spirit of the world in me. He has not given us the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Whew. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, but they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, he that may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we walk after the world, we're going to mind the things of the world. If we want to see how close we can get to the world, we're going to mind the things of the world. But if we get deeper, and we get deeper, and we get deeper in God, if we push on a little bit further, we're going to mind the things of the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. When we get into the Spirit, when we find ourselves a prayer room, when we get out of the shallowness of our flesh and get into the Holy Ghost, that's when God starts revealing things. That's when God starts opening doors. That's when God starts making a way when there seemeth no way. The Holy Ghost teaches us because it is spiritually discerned. There are some things, and I believe in preaching, I believe in apostolic preaching, but there are some things that we're only going to get when we're by ourselves in a prayer room. There are some things we're only going to get when we go deep in the Word and we ask God to show us and we ask God to talk about it. And we're not being shallow 15 minutes, 20 minutes here and there, but we're talking about praying until we get an answer. We're talking about praying it through. For this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Hey, I know it's a West Coast conference, but it's all right to preach on prayer and fasting. Hey, when's the last time you pushed a plate away? When's the last time you actually thought about, I gotta fast from this? It may not be food, it may be your computer. It may be your hobby, but we gotta fast. If we really want to answer, we're gonna have to push on. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Daniel 2 says, he revealeth the deep and secret things. We've got this mindset, at least I have this mindset, that to go deep, you got to get it way in there in Daniel's revelation. You got to get way in there and search something out. Find some nugget. I like chicken nuggets. That's about as far as it goes. I may not be able to quote all of Revelation, but I know how to pray. I may not understand all the things that happened in Daniel. Some of you preachers can laugh at me. Don't have me to your church. That's fine. I'm all the way in Canada. It don't really matter. But if I'm going to have revival in Alberta, if we're going to have revival in Spruce Grove, I don't have to preach some deep revelation thing. All I got to do is teach the church how to pray. Teach us to pray. Let me get to a prayer room. Let me get to an altar. Let me get down on my knees in my prayer closet and find out what God's will is for me. A revelation of the deep. Deep called unto deep. A calling for the deep. A wooing of the Spirit to go deeper. We read in Ephesians chapter 3, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. If we can get someplace where we begin to understand what God's got for us. You say, but I'm not a preacher. I'm not in the ministry. Oh, that's where the problem is. It don't take a preacher to get to the deep things of God. It don't take the pastor pushing us to get deeper in God. But it says with all the saints. With all the saints. If you can get behind your pastor. And you can start praying when he's not asking you to pray. And you can start fasting when he's not asking you to fast. And you can start getting deeper. And you can start asking God. We want revival in our city. We want revival in our homes. We want revival in our outreach, in our county. We want revival. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. We have got to have a revelation of going deeper. To go further in to the deeper things of God. Deeper prayer. Deeper worship. A deeper walk. A deeper consecration. If our relationship with God is shallow, then we're going to be satisfied with shallow church. If our relationship with God is surface, we're going to live the surface standard for a while. When no one else is around, we may let the standard down a little bit. If it's surface, and we look around and the pastor's not there, and the pastor's little pet's not there, and the pastor's little go-to is not there. That's how the carnally minded think. And I can put my sleeves up a little bit higher. I can shorten the skirt a little bit more. I can put a slit in that thing and wear a low neckline. Hey, if it's not in us, it's only surface. We're only going to do what we need to do to get by. But the deeper we seek Him, the deeper He'll take us. The deeper we want it, the deeper He'll give it to us. Oh, I'm tired of the shallow. I'm tired of the surface. I'm tired of the norm. Praise God. I'm all for running. I'm all for shouting. We preach running. Amen. In fact, we took a wall out of our church so that we could run the aisles. We preach running. We love shouting. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. We make that place rock. We almost going through the floor into the basement. We do it almost every service, it seems like. But I tell the church, this running better never take place of your praying. This shouting better never take place of the prayer room before church. Praise God. I got a piece of ice there. Musicians, so worried about how good they are that they can't shout. No offense, I'm not preaching into y'all. I know y'all do it. I've watched Sister Brittany, man. She'll just tear up on the organ and pray and shout and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. I told our drum player and our bass player and our organ player and our piano player, if the Holy Ghost moves on you, forget what we're playing. Forget what's going on. If you feel like running, run. If you feel like shouting, shout. Our song leader runs the aisles. Hey, our bass player shouts. Our drummer sometimes to get up and leave. It's all right because it started in a prayer room. Oh, we can't let our worship and the ability of our worship take place of real apostolic worship. Oh, yes. Praise God. Most nights our piano player is standing up. A little Filipino man by the name of Brother Eugene Alerta. He'll stand up and he'll start playing with one hand and raising the other hand and all this stuff. And I finally look at him and say, go ahead. He just takes off. But I believe in all that. And I want it. I love when they shout. Hey, when they sit, that's when I think something's wrong. And there are times to sit and then there's times when not to. But let me tell you, I don't care how much you run. I don't care how much you shout. You can dance till your hair falls down and your tie's all wet. But if you haven't been to a prayer room, if you haven't come early to church and prayed, that's surface. That's shallow. Oh, yeah. You may do all that running and you may do all that shouting and never go deeper in God than you are right now. But when you go deep in God and you got it way down deep in your soul, you can't help but shout. You can't help. That's real praise. Amen. Ezekiel 47:3 said that when the man that had the lie in his hand went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knee. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loin. Afterward, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass over. For the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said to me, son of man, have you got a revelation of the deep? Seest thee this? Have you seen this? Have you seen what I just showed you? And he brought me back to the brink of the river. Oh, it would be great if God would just pick us up on this first morning of West Coast Conference, on last night's service, and pick us up and take us where he wants us to be by Friday night. But I promise you, that he showed us something last night. If you wake up, young men. If you wake up, young ladies. If you wake up, Pentecost. There's a river that you cannot pass over. But you gotta get there on your own. You gotta go deeper than you've ever been before. Ankle deep. Too many times we come to church. And we've been working all week. And we've been slaving all week. On the jobs and at home and the mamas with the kids and daddy's on the job and working. We come to Wednesday night and they start singing the songs and we start worshiping, singing the old songs and singing the slow songs. And it feels good. It's almost like taking off your shoes, putting them in the water. It's refreshing. Gives you a little bit of reprieve. But it's only to the ankles. And we've been coming to church for years. And we believe what's being preached. And we're obeying to a point what's being preached. But we've only ever felt the ankle deepness of God. We've only ever experienced what it's like to get refreshed. And not renewed. Oh, come on now. Then we may go to a Sunday night service or a conference somewhere. And we figure we're going to dig a little deeper because it's a special night. And we go and it's to the knees. And we try to hold back, but there's a little bit more pressure because we're going a little bit deeper. But we still have never seen what God wants us to see. We go a little bit further. We press on a little bit further. And we're up to our waist now. And now it's getting a little scary, Brother Kendricks, because now we're losing control. We're starting to give it to the Spirit. And we're starting to stagger around a little bit. And we catch ourselves starting to shout. I haven't shouted in years. I don't even know how to shout anymore. Bust to the waist. If you've ever been to the waist deep in a river that's flowing, that's rushing, it starts pulling you. And if you turn around, it starts pushing you. When you get waist deep in God, it feels good. And you start losing control. And that's when we get worried. But when we just give up and go into those deep things of God, and we get in that deep water, and we see the blessings and the miracles and the refreshing and the renewing and the praying through and the revival, you say, why wasn't I here a long time ago? I said to us this morning, don't test the waters. Don't put your toe in around West Coast Conference. But jump on in to the water's fine. Jump on in to what God has for us this morning. Oh, I want to push deeper. I want to see things I've never seen before. I want to see things I've only heard about. Praise God. People come to church and they test the waters. They drive by the church, the parking lot. If the pastor's car is not there, they may drive on home. Oh, pastor's not going to be there tonight. He's going to be those young men. I might as well stay home then. It's youth service. I don't need to go. I got grandchildren. I got babies. I don't need to go to youth service. That's shallow. I tell the church that I pastor, if there's a young man giving the word, it's still the word. And you better back him up just like you would me. And if God speaks to your heart, you better obey it, whether it's me or somebody else. That's deep. That's not shallow. They hang out in the shallow end. Woo. You see them walk into church. Church starts at 7:30. They walk in 7:25. They didn't go to the prayer room. I'll never forget the night that I walked in late from work to church. My elder said, anybody who has not gone to the prayer room tonight, stand up. I had to stand up. He asked me, where were you at? I got off work late, elder. I'm sorry. I'll go right now. I guarantee that 5 minutes did more than any prayer room I've ever been in did. And I made a point to make sure I was there. When I got to Spruce Grove, I shouted because there was a separate prayer room from the sanctuary. I told them the only schedule we keep in church is prayer starts a half hour before, and we'll see what happens after that's done. We start service at 5:30 on Sunday, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, and if the God, Holy Ghost moves, if God moves, and we don't start service till 7:45, that's fine with me. There's many a time we prayed folks through in the prayer meeting before church. What good is the shouting if you haven't been to the prayer room? What good is the running if you haven't gone deeper in God? Oh, we want to see what kind of mood the pastor's in tonight. We want to see if he shakes anybody's hands on the way to the platform. If he does, we're probably okay. But if he doesn't, we're probably in for it. I start praying now. All service, you see him rocking. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't get eye contact. Don't look at me. Oh, God. Shallow. Surface. Maybe the pastor's got something on his mind. Maybe he's been dealing with an issue before church. Maybe he got a phone call just before church. But he needs some praying saints to intercede on his behalf. He needs somebody to go into a prayer room and get a total hold of God on his behalf. Because he's been dealing with other bozos. He's been dealing with other folks. Hey, I'm telling you, if we don't go deeper in God, we're never going to see what God has for us. That we may be able to comprehend. We're never going to learn how to swim in the shallow waters. They're trying to get from God what they want in the shallow waters. They're trying to get from God what they want where they're comfortable. Now, I don't mean to embarrass my mama, but she's here this morning. For a lot of years, she couldn't swim. You swim yet, Mom? She couldn't swim. You can get in a shallow end all day long. I'm swimming. That's the steps, Mom. Come on down. When I was a kid, she said, "Don't touch me. Don't you touch me. If you touch me, I'll break your pinky." But Mom, you can't swim in a shallow end. You got to get in the deep. You got to get in the deep. But this is where I feel comfortable. We got too many saints, too many pastors, too many Pentecostals. This is where I feel comfortable. Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't feel too comfortable earlier this morning, but I feel mighty comfortable about right now. Hey, I'm telling you what, you're never going to feel what God has you to feel and what God brought you out of the world to feel unless you get out of the shallow end, unless you get out of that shallow prayer, unless you get out of that shallow things of God. The only way you're going to see revival is if we go deeper. If our churches are going to be what God called us to be. We don't need preachers with degrees on the wall. Hey, I'm all for education. I'm all for learning. I want to know more. I wish I knew. I don't even know what I don't know. I've only been pastoring for 2 years. Amen. In fact, the night before my elder asked me to go to Spruce Grove, I was cleaning chandeliers in the church in Fresno. And the next night he said, "You want to go to Spruce Grove?" The chandeliers are still dirty, elder. I'm telling you. But we can't just be shallow. But if we have churches, are going to be what God called us to be. We're going to have to go deeper. I'm telling you, revival is not waiting for a degree. Revival's not waiting for some plaque on the wall. The preachers are not built in a pulpit, but preachers are built in a prayer room. Churches are not built on Saturday outreach, but they're built in a prayer room so we can go on outreach and do the will of God. The miracles, the answers, the needs that we've been looking for, that we've been praying for, they're not in the shallow. They're not in the surface. But they're in the deep. Psalm 107:21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships. that do business in the great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. They that do business, they that labor in the great waters, they that pray and seek God in the great waters, these are they that see the work of God. These are they which see His wonders in the deep. To go deeper is going to cost us something. We may have to sacrifice something. We may have to give up some things. We preach against idolatry, and I would imagine everybody in this house believes against that. But if there's something that we're holding on to, that God says, if you just let go of that, I'll take you someplace you've never been. It may not be sin. Preacher may not be able to put his finger on that sin. But the Bible said, lay aside every weight and the sin. God, am I holding on to something that's holding our church back? God, am I holding on to something in me that's holding Spruce Grove back from going where you want to go? God, I might have to sacrifice something. I may have to give up something. I tell you, for years, my elder can testify to this. For years I prayed. I felt the call of God in my life at a young age. I think my grandpa felt it before me. But I felt it at a young age. And I wanted something, and I was looking for it. But there was a lot of times I never got where I was supposed to be because I was holding on to some teenage things. I was holding on to some things. I pray today, God, what could have been if I let go of some things long ago? Where would I be today if I let go of some things long ago? And there was a call, there was a yearning, there was a desire inside of me. And it pulled, and it pulled, and it almost messed me up. I thought my pastor was holding me back. I thought my pastor didn't see what I was doing. But I always obeyed what he said. And when he said, no, it's not time, I just sat. And still did what I was doing before. And I'll never forget January of 2008. Going to Spruce Grove to preach my first revival. I preached there 17 days. And I prayed, God, let 2008 be the year of change. I pray, God, if this is your will. I had no idea what God had for me. I said, God, I want to go deeper. God, I want to go further. God, I got a good job. I got a house. I got cars. I got toys. I got quads and trailers. I got stuff, God, but if there's something deeper, if there's something further for me, God, then take me there. I begin to feel to give up things. I sold some things. I got rid of some things. I didn't use it anymore. It was becoming a distraction. It was becoming a weight. And then God called me to Spruce Grove to pastor. But you're going to have to sell that house you built. You're going to have to get rid of those cars you bought. But oh, the revelation of the deep things of God. I don't have what I had before in the flesh, but I'm swimming in a river. I'm swimming in a river. God's taking us places. God's shown us things. God's blessed me more than He's ever blessed me before because we sacrificed and we saw the wondrous word. I may have to give him my time. I may have to give him myself. Can I just say this from a pastor's perspective? I'm all for paying tithe and offering. I believe it's right and I believe it's true. But I feel that we as saints can never let our tithe and our offering take place of our flesh and our abilities and our labors. If we give tithe and we give offerings of our finances, then I believe we should pay tithe and offerings of ourselves to the work of God. If we only spend time building our kingdom and never further His kingdom, if we never further the church and the work of God, then we're never going to be what we should be. Brother Solomon just came to our church and preached this message. If you only do what you're commanded to do, Jesus said, you're unprofitable. If you only work and do what your duty is to do, then you're unprofitable. I thought to myself, if I only pastor this church, if I only counsel the saints, if I only pray and do for this church, this is what God called me to do. This is my duty. I'm still unprofitable. I've got to go further. I've got to go deeper. I've got to take this church someplace that's never been before. Not by doing it myself, but by being an example, by praying, by fasting. You say, oh, but I do. My pastor's asked me to head up this and head up that, and I do that. That's your duty to do. Are we going further? There is a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. The word do in Psalm 107 means in the broadest sense, in the widest application. Business in that same setting means dutyship, ministry. Comes from the word that means messenger from God, an angel, a prophet. And ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. In closing, 2 Kings chapter 2. Looking forward to hearing Brother Lackey here soon. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 8. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over, Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Elijah, I want to go deeper than I've ever been before. I want to see things that I've never seen before. It came to pass, and he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me where I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. If we're going to see what God has for us, we better stick with the elders. If we're going to see what God has for us, we better follow our pastors. It came to pass as they still went on and walked, that behold, they approached a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Son of man, seest thou this? And he brought me again to the brink of the river. I feel in my soul this morning. I really do. I can't just pick up the mantle of my elders. I can't just pick it up. Elder Morton, I got it in my hand, Elder. I picked it up. Elder, I'm here. I picked it up. But I got to take it back to the river and apply that mantle. It's not good enough, young preacher, to follow in our daddy's footsteps, to follow in our grandpa's footsteps. It's given to us whether we ask for it or not. The mantle's been passed down to us for the kindred. My grandpas have gone on to be with the Lord. I got my grandpa's Bible at home. I was going to preach out of it this morning, but I didn't think I could do it. I didn't think I should do it because I'm not half the man that he was. But I want him to know I didn't just pick it up, but I'm applying it. I didn't just pick it up, but I'm putting it to use. Oh, God. A revelation of the deep. He took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the God of Elijah? He found a prayer room. He wrapped that mantle around him. He got on his knees and he said, where's the God of our elders? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither. And Elisha went over. A double portion. Shall we stand? My prayer this morning is not that I have preached a sermon. Not that I've just preached a message. But that I brought a word from God. My prayer for myself. God, I want to learn to swim in the deep. I look at my elders. I was in my pastor, Elder Morton, Brother Hyler, Brother Garrett. I look at Brother Frost. I look at these men that have helped me, been there. Brother Eccles gave me a book for my grandfather. I'm not trying to prove who I am. I'm not preaching for another conference. But I'm asking us young people. I'm asking us young men. I'm 37 years old. I've only been pastoring full-time in the ministry for 2 years. I don't want a shallow relationship with God.
I don't want to just pick up the mantle and say, yeah, I'm pastoring. Yeah, I'm preaching. Yeah, I got my Bible in my suit, but I want to find myself a prayer room. I want to see the wonders of the deep. I want to experience things. I want to see healings. I want to see deliverances. I want to see the blinded eye open. But it's only going to take us getting deeper in God and going further in God. Oh, I pray, God. I pray, God. I don't judge the church that I pastor in Spruce Grove by Fresno, the church that I came from 27 years. But I do this. God, the Spirit that built that church, the holiness that was preached from that pulpit, the word that was given from that preacher, give me a double portion of that Spirit. We may never be what Fresno is. We may never be what some of these other churches are. But we better have a double portion blessing. We better have a double portion Spirit. I pray, God, take me deeper. Take me deeper than I've ever been before. I pray in this West Coast Conference that there's a time when we forget about schedule and we forget about the hamburgers and we forget about the basketball and we forget about going out to lunch. I want that old time move of the Holy Ghost. God, take me deeper than I've ever been before. Is that your prayer this morning? Is that your desire, young people? I'm a young man. I'm preaching to young people. I'm preaching to young families. Oh, I want to do Bible studies. I want to do home Bible studies. I want to pray. I want my family to get a bus route. I want my family to get a Bible study going. I want to reach somebody. I want to save somebody. Let's pray this morning and ask God to help us. Let's pray this morning and ask God to bless us. Oh, come on. Let's seek the Lord.